Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Thursday evening bracket rundown podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by Joby Fortson and John Titel. On the bottom row, a chair in which David Griggs might be showing up. Oh, there's David Griggs.
Woohoo! I'm here.
And Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org.
Can you hear me, Chad? I don't know if anybody
can. Yes, unfortunately, we can.
Oh, okay, you can. Okay. Do I sound too loud?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
We are recording, first of all, quick point here. We're recording this about 9:15 p.m. on Thursday, February 11th. So any games that go final after this point are not going to be considered in this podcast. But what we do in these bracket rundown podcasts is attempt to, at least what we're going to do tonight at least, is attempt to build a seed list. Now, the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, when they meet about a month from now, is going to have three major tasks. They're going to have to select the 37 at-large teams. They're going to have to build a seed list of the 37 at-large plus the 31 auto bids for a 1 to 68 seed list, and then put those 68 teams into a bracket. Well, we're going to kind of combine those first two steps together in an hour or less tonight by going through and deciding what teams are in order. And when we run out of, when we've used up all of the at-large bid spots, we'll be pretty much done. I'll go in and fill in the remainder of the field, just the single bid conferences that we discussed last night on the Under the Radar show. Bracket them up afterwards. If you look below us, David, what can you see?
Well, you can see the bracket, but don't look at it yet.
You just ruined the whole show if you did.
Yeah,
that,
because right? You just ruined the whole show. So what we're attempting to do this week, next week we're going to do the whole thing, like over the span of 5 days. It'll be a 5 day show. But tonight we're going to take what normally takes 5 days and do it in about an hour or less.
Yeah, there's a very complicated voting procedures and everything for the NCAA. We're not doing any of that. What we're going to do is I've pulled up the 1 through 68 list along with an area where we can discuss teams that we have not yet put in but have been discussing. I'm going to go randomly to one of you to give me four teams at a time. We'll debate it. If there's a consensus, that'll be our four teams. If there's debate, and it cannot be broken, I'm going to serve as the tiebreaker because I chose myself to do that.
I'll break the ties.
One term that we'll definitely be using tonight is going to be protected seeds. Protected seeds are these first 16 teams. Some other terms we'll be using are some of the metrics. You can see them here as we put teams in. So, for example, if we were to put, let's say, a team like Chicago State in the field, which would be impressive because you would see their net rating, their OAR
that's a pretty
rating,
good strength of schedule.
Which is their OAR rating, which is the average of all the metrics rated, strength of schedule, their KenPom rating, and Joby, your JNG rating.
I love how KenPom has them at 356 when only 347 teams have played.
Well, Chicago State's one of those not playing, actually, so that might be why. Let's get rid of them. And maybe the metrics will go away. Maybe they'll stay up there for it. Oh, there we go. Okay. On that note, I think I covered all the basics here. We also have
inside the bubble, outside the bubble, first ballot.
Go ahead, define them, David.
Okay, a first ballot team is essentially, on the first day, the committee puts up to 37 teams into the field. Each of the 10 members vote for 37 teams or up to 37 teams. Any team that gets 8 out of the 10 votes is into the NCAA tournament on the first ballot. So that's a first ballot team. You're looking at basically the top 7 or 8 lines in that system. Inside the bubble means you're sort of below the first ballot, but in the field. Outside the bubble obviously means you're not in the field at all. Do we have any other terms? You mentioned
if we throw any out there, we'll try to find them as we go along.
Yeah, okay.
But one addition I'll say to the protected seeds is this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, the NCAA will release their top 16 preview of the teams that comprise the protected seeds. So as of this moment, those things inevitably will change, but you get to see, it's a window into thinking what the actual committee is thinking. And so it's something I would suggest everyone pay attention to.
Yeah, I believe it's scheduled for 12:30 on Saturday on CBS if you're looking to watch it. Yeah. Let's go ahead and start putting some teams in there. Rocco, I just randomly chose you to start the show off. I can let you go first last
And Chad, move me, will you? I don't like being on this row.
Oh, hold on, I got it. You covered right there. Okay. Rocco, go ahead.
Sorry, David. I don't know what to say. But let's go with Gonzaga first. I'm flip-flopping after the win at BYU. I think that just barely tilts the scales with Baylor being on shutdown. A couple more relevant wins. They're 11-0 against the top three, whereas Baylor's 9-0. It's splitting hairs, but Gonzaga is balancing out just a tiny bit better for me. Baylor number two, and then Michigan three. Hope to see them back on Sunday. And Ohio State as number four.
Right. John, do you agree with him, and do you agree with that order?
Yes and yes, no veto.
No veto. I think that well, let me throw it out there. Joby, David, either one of you, what, disagree at all with this here? Because I think sorry, Rocco, I think I gave you the easiest line of the
No, that's fine with me.
The debate here, because I think Ohio State has established themselves clearly as the four. The debate here is Gonzaga or Baylor. It's the debate the committee will have. I think it's interesting that both the JNG and KenPom, after the BYU win that Rocco mentioned, the Zags jump back in front of Baylor. And part of that also is because Baylor's on pause. Baylor will have opportunities down the road, you know, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and of course the Big 12 tournament to really pass Gonzaga. But for now, I am in concurrence with Rocco that the Zags have it by a nose.
I'll be the only dissenter. I know that I can't switch the vote by myself. I like Baylor's paper better. If the two played each other, I would probably pick Gonzaga to win the game. So I'm not going to go too crazy about them being ahead. But I think Illinois, Texas Tech, and Texas are probably better than anybody Gonzaga has beaten. Now, again, Gonzaga has beaten some really good teams, particularly West Virginia. But
Kansas when they were playing out, David.
But Oklahoma, I think, is better than Kansas. And Baylor also beat Kansas, and Baylor won at Oklahoma State, who's really good. And Baylor, again, I just think what Baylor has done has been against teams that are probably a little better, not saying that Gonzaga has not beaten excellent teams, and they've done it in true road games more so than Gonzaga has. I like both of them. A strong case can be made for both of them, especially when you get into the predictive metrics. I think those sort of tilt it toward Gonzaga. I think Baylor has the better resume, and you can only evaluate what's there.
Okay.
Since neither team lost a game, you got to go with Baylor.
Time out, David. Predictive metrics. I got 2-1-1, 1-2-2. Offense and defense, I got 2-5 and 3-3. They're dead even.
Yeah, they're dead even.
I'm not going to use predictive metrics to break this tie. I think that's a mistake. I got to call you out on that.
Well, then what are you? Okay, then that actually – well, my argument is Baylor. You're strengthening my point here then.
The best argument for Baylor is the fact that they have – a couple games left, including Oklahoma State again and Kansas again, that could even make them better. Whereas Gonzaga might get a BYU game in the West Coast Conference tournament, Big 12 tournament, Baylor will get two or three more good games. So at the end of the day, I think Baylor can get a lot better resume.
Well, I think it's a little better already, but
let's get out to the two line here.
I like Ohio State better than Michigan too, but we won't.
Let's get to a line we're going to debate. John, let me bring you in here. What's the two line?
I think there's several teams, a lot more than four, in play here. I'll go with the team you all love to hate, Illinois, as my top two seed. And then I just want to get a bunch of conference leaders in. Best team in the Big East, I want Villanova in. Best team in the SEC, I want Alabama in. And while Virginia is under consideration, I'm going to go with the best team in the American, Houston, as my fourth.
Joby, let me start with you here on these four teams.
Well, I think the first three are – I'd have Villanova, have Illinois, but I do agree for once with John. He's won me over. Illinois is deserving. And Alabama at seven makes a lot of sense. It's really tough for that last team on this line. I would actually go – and I appreciate the mention for the Hoos. I appreciate the conference leader component, but – I would actually say after the big road win this week where Chris Beard literally sat – any team that makes Chris Beard sit on the floor in exasperation in Lubbock, West Virginia, look at the resume now, and all of a sudden you go, wow. And there's arguments for, like, as John said, like six teams here. I go with West Virginia, a little recency bias, the win this week in Lubbock.
Rocco, a team with five losses versus a team with two losses, obviously a huge difference in the level of competition they've been playing, though.
Yeah, huge difference, and both have beaten Texas Tech. West Virginia has done it twice. Obviously, West Virginia has got the great crossover classic tournament non-conference three wins, but unfortunately, they weren't powerhouses. Western Kentucky might be the best of the lot, or VCU, both bubble teams. So I still think the strength of Houston wins out in the comparison, just my opinion. I also think the committee probably will, but we'll find out on Saturday.
There's something else that I would like to point out here. While Houston has only two losses, West Virginia has no losses to anyone below 25th, whereas Houston has two losses to teams that if we play the NIT will not be in it.
Right, but you could also say, David, that you know if West Virginia had all those opportunities to lose to teams that bad, they might lose two as well.
Well, that's, I mean, again, we're supposing Houston actually did it.
Right. But they're playing with landmines every game instead yeah. of playing against
well, top heavyweights. And I might add, West Virginia did beat Iowa State and Kansas State on the road, which are kind of the equivalent. Yeah, you know, they did when they had their time.
Not by much.
Yeah, that's not Iowa by State. Much. But that, well, I mean, they whipped Kansas State like a stepchild. And that's really more East Carolina's speed. Oh, let's be honest here.
Why does everybody beat up on the stepchild? Why do we do that analogy? Anyway.
Real quick. I want to just discuss Illinois for a second here. I personally agree with John as well. Illinois has finally won me over. But David, do you want to take the case why Illinois is not a two seed?
I have, you know, they've shown quite a bit. I actually have them on the two line. I did not have them fifth. I had them sixth. I really like the way they've been playing. I love the top of their resume, and I'm convinced. I think they're better now than they were a month ago, and they deserve it. A team I'd have up there.
I'll tell you what, the problem we had here is we had two votes for West Virginia and two for Houston. As the tiebreaker, I'm going to go with John's original line here and stick with Houston.
Oh my.
I think that overall record just, you know, there's something attractive about that overall record, and that I think puts them on the two line for me. But
is Belmont on your three line?
Yes, they are. Joby, go ahead. I'll give you the three lines so we don't have to have
Belmont. Why don't we West Virginia to kick it off. I will go with the other with take away the West and just put Virginia in.
I'll go Virginia Tech next then.
I know. I mean well, if they hadn't lost recently. But let's go with I just love that surging Oklahoma team. Maybe I'm Big 12 centric right now. Yeah, you know, in that. And despite the recency bias of a, let's be honest, a bad loss, in my opinion, I will.
Well, Houston's already in the field, Joby.
Yeah, I will pinch my nose and still say Missouri. What people need to remember is Ole Miss was actually favored in that game. That's what's crazy to me. But, you know, but Missouri, I will still keep here. Their resume, maybe the Illinois win is booing them in a lot of ways, but I still like the overall resume for the Tigers.
Well, Joby, I'm not certain who was favored that game because all I saw was that MISS was favored. So, David, let me start with you on the comments on this line.
I'm there with three of them. I'm actually not there on the who's. Can we pull them up real quick?
Sure. And who would you have instead?
And again, they're kind of backing into it, but I would actually like have Texas Tech ahead of them and probably Texas as well. But let's go ahead and look at Texas Tech first.
One you're gonna make a better case for.
Texas Tech.
Okay, so why Texas Tech over Virginia?
Okay, I mean, I like the wins at Clemson and at Georgia Tech. I think Notre Dame is a little bit of a mirage as a Tier 1 win. I actually think the NC State win might be slightly better, even though it's down in Tier 2. And look at Texas Tech just topping out with Oklahoma, who's way ahead of Clemson, and Texas, who's way ahead of Clemson, and LSU, who is probably ahead of Georgia Tech and Notre Dame. And their worst loss is to an Oklahoma State team or a Kansas team that we're easily going to put in the top half of the bracket. Virginia, while it was just a one-time fluke, and I think you don't want to weigh too much into it, but it's there on their resume and it's not on Tech's, the loss to San Francisco. So I think the top is better, and I think the bottom is not as bad. And honestly, I just think Texas Tech is really damn good.
Well, Rocco, what do you think about those arguments?
I like those teams. I actually have a team that we haven't mentioned yet in this line. Okay. Which would be the Tennessee Volunteers. I think their wins are getting better with age. Colorado just came off a big win a little bit ago on the road. So that win looks a tiny bit better right now. Obviously, Mizzou, as Joby alluded to, had a rough night yesterday, but just a great overall road win for Tennessee there. And they've beaten Kansas and Arkansas. The jury's out on Arkansas, but it's still a nice win. And some more good stuff on the road with Kentucky A&M. I know they're not tournament teams, but it's in the top two quads. Their net is obviously doing well. So it's tough. It's splitting hairs, but I think they should be in the discussion at least.
Well, John, let me turn to you. We've got three teams now being batted around for one spot with Virginia, Tennessee, and Texas Tech.
I've been unimpressed with Tennessee over the past couple of weeks. So if I had to take one out, they would be the one I take out.
All right, what if you had to take two out now? Let's leave it with the Texas Tech Virginia argument because we still got to take one more out.
I will defer to Joby and leave Virginia in over Texas Tech. And if you had to flip a coin between the Longhorns and Texas Tech, I would say the head-to-head that the fact that Texas Tech beat them in Texas should be the advantage.
Okay, so we are kind of all over the place on this line now. Joby, do you want to defend your Virginia pick then?
Yeah, I mean, Virginia being first place in the ACC, go ahead and put Virginia versus Houston then, because they have similar-ish resumes, except Virginia's noted bad loss is better than, in my opinion, both Tulsa and East Carolina. Virginia is, regardless of whether the ACC is down or not, ACC is better than the American by a long way, game in, game out. And Virginia is leading the ACC with only one loss to Houston's two. So Virginia, Houston, don't even get me started if we're getting in the same category of team. So then you get to the taste of, all right, well, then massive number of wins, Texas Tech, teams in the Big 12, Missouri. Fair enough. Debate and whether first place in a Power 5 conference matters more with fewer opportunities than the team with more opportunities but more losses. That's a debate for what you like on a resume. Personally, I think being first does matter a lot in this particular case. And I would have both Houston and Virginia in this particular case ahead. And that's why the ranking is where it is. And West Virginia was my nod to the strong win total, precisely because of the win in Lubbock. Texas Tech lost this week. If the roles were reversed, maybe I would be reversing those teams.
I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, I had two votes for Virginia, one for Tennessee, one for Texas Tech. So we're going to leave the line as it was. Joby, your line stays with West Virginia, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Virginia. Rocco, you had another thought on it?
Yeah, I think Virginia is the top team of that group for me.
Okay.
And I think the debate would be on my end between Oklahoma, Texas, or Texas Tech and Tennessee. And I would take Tennessee and Texas Tech out of those four. I wouldn't have Oklahoma yet. I would have them at the top of the four line.
I just love how this Oklahoma team.
Okay, well, let's discuss this real quickly here. John, let me go back to you. Does Oklahoma belong here, or should we have gone with one of the Tennessee, Texas Tech group?
I had them a little lower, but I mean, I think they're in the conversation because we're starting to get to a bunch of teams who've had some recent losses, but in general have been great. Oklahoma, as David said, had the amazing run in January. I've fallen back a little bit in February, but they're in the discussion.
Okay, well, would you have them, or if you had to make a call between them and, say, Tennessee or Texas Tech, one of the three?
If it's going to help the cause, I have them below Texas Tech. I don't think that helps the cause because it just jumps something more, right?
Well, I tell you what, we now have a couple of votes for Texas Tech replacing Oklahoma. David, you want them over Oklahoma as well? Is that? You had Oklahoma.
Okay. I had Oklahoma
ahead of them. We're all over the place here, so we're going to leave the line as is. How about that?
Well, why don't we just use my three line?
Well, David, why don't you give us the four line instead?
That's the best one. Well, as shocking as this is, I have Texas Tech at the top is my next team. Gee whiz. Yes. Okay. The Pokes after that. And I go back and forth here. I'm going to get shouted down for this, but if you're going to talk about conference leaders and you're talking about a team that's 10-1 in their last 11, and I think that they've kind of been forgotten. And what gave me the nudge, I hate to say eye test, but they just look better than Tennessee right now. I have USC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do look tonight.
I did not expect to hear USC this early, but so John, let me let you start off. What teams are does they, how many of these four teams does David have wrong?
The Pokes are wrong because they do not have better metrics than Tennessee, as we can clearly see there, besides the strength of schedule. And even though I'm sure the committee would love to get Cade Cunningham as high up the rankings as possible, USC has come on strong. I think that there's very good merit for them on the four line.
Okay, so the USC call he likes, but the debate might be the Oklahoma State Tennessee. I know where you're going to go, Rocco, because you just sold us on Tennessee, but do you agree with that? Do you agree with the other three picks that then maybe we should do is just take Oklahoma State out and put Tennessee in instead?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with the last two. I think Texas Tech and Texas certainly are on this line at this point. But I do think Tennessee would be my next. And then I would go Iowa after the win over Rutgers last night. I just think Oklahoma State and USC, albeit good seasons, there's some issues with each. Oklahoma State got swept by TCU. That matters. I also think USC, and just to give you a cliff note, there's more.
Not them. That's USC.
I'm working on it. USC. I mean, I like USC a lot. I watch all their games, but the problem with their resume is they don't have a top end win. Their best win might be the UCLA win last week or BYU. Usually when you're putting in protected seeds, you need a couple more bigger notches to build on. And unless USC runs the table, I don't see them getting into this top four.
Well, is Rutgers in the category of top end? Is Purdue? I mean, those are good, but Purdue at home versus Arizona and Stanford on the road. I just, and USC is just on fire right now.
No, I agree with that. I just think from a seeding and perspective, I have Rutgers on the six, and I have Purdue on the five, and you got three of those, so that's got a lot of calories.
You do know that Purdue played tonight, right?
Yes, but they're not on. But they also lost on the road to a tournament team, so I'm not really kind of
true. True enough.
Well, they lost on the road to a tournament team that plays like a protected seed at home.
Okay. So. Yeah. Or maybe better.
Yeah,
Joby, we kind of have a four team debate going on right here. It is the debate of Oklahoma State, USC, Iowa, and Tennessee.
I just do not get what you all like about Iowa.
And I'm going with COVID Florida State. So let's just throw them. Making all of that stuff.
Yeah, trust me, David. I am definitely not the biggest Iowa fan. I'm actually one of the biggest critics. But every single team, I have to look at what I like about them, what I don't like about them, and I have to guess what the committee is going to do. And that's, I think, this is where they land.
As far as I test, you know, I'm not on the Oklahoma State. They've looked sloppy recently. I really do think that that TCU game sits with you. It was not a fluke. That's the problem with it. It wasn't like a one-off bad performance.
Yeah.
I feel like they're depending too much on Cunningham and he's putting too much on his shoulders right now. This is not to say that they aren't a five seed. Yeah, you know, but I think they aren't the team here. Yeah, and if you're not going to go with my Florida State ACC bias, I think Tennessee's for now it. I also don't like the top end of Iowa. You know, sorry, Chad, the Rutgers win being notwithstanding. Iowa's not played their best ball league, despite this week's win.
Lately, anyway.
So I'd go Joby. Would you go USC over Iowa? Then is that what you're saying?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I would go with.
I know you say you go Florida State, but I'm not giving you that.
Yeah,
option.
You're not getting me that. But yeah, conference leader, because they beat UCLA, even though UCLA was shorthanded. For now, I'll go USC. Yes.
All right. Then that is our tie-breaking vote on this debate. So we are going to go Texas Tech, Texas, Tennessee, USC on the four line. Iowa, Florida State, and Oklahoma State all under consideration.
I figured I'd have to fight for USC a lot harder than Oklahoma
State. I thought you would also, but you got two other people that were with you. Rocco, you were not, but you got overruled, Rocco, but I will give you the honor of the five line. How's that?
Hey, if I brought bias to the conversation, I'd be with you on USC because I like what they're doing, but it's just I can't. Okay, so Iowa is next for me. I know they lost recently. Actually, they bounced back with a win against terrible Nebraska yesterday. I'll put Wisconsin next. And then I will take Joby's Florida State. I actually think they can go way higher than this once they get back on the court. Just really tough to measure without enough data. And then I will stick with Purdue as my last five.
Okay. You're not, despite the loss tonight to Minnesota.
And the main reason is there's going to be a lot of weight on sweeping a number one seed, which they did.
John, what are your thoughts on these, on this four, this group of four?
I like it. It's a very Big Ten heavy, but that's because the Big Ten is the best conference in the country. I think that if you need to throw a team under consideration, that we should at least consider a team like Creighton, but I don't have any veto.
Yeah, Creighton is one of those teams that that their resume is so hard to figure out with bad home losses, but good wins. But Joby, how about you? Are you with this? Are you with Rocco on these four teams and still leaving Creighton and Oklahoma State out?
Yeah, I think I am. Though Oklahoma State's really tight with Purdue. The more you really, I think Rocco makes an excellent point on the sweeping of a number one seed. I think that is pretty powerful stuff when you really break it down. But Oklahoma State definitely deserves a lot of consideration. We know that David will go that direction. I will go Purdue on this. I'll go there. Yeah.
Well, David, I think you've already been outvoted here, but you want to give your two cents on why you don't like Purdue.
Well, no, I do like Purdue. I did have them on this line. So I just, as far as them or Oklahoma State, I just like where they top out. But there's nothing, I'll say that I think that there's more with Oklahoma State, but there isn't a singular game that's better than the win at Ohio State. And on top of that, that might be the single greatest win that anyone's managed all year. Baylor and Gonzaga have not lost at home, and I don't think Michigan has either.
I'll tell you what, then we're leaving this line alone, and we're cruising along here. You've been outvoted again on Oklahoma State. I think we're probably gonna get them on this line, but John, it is your line, and so you can put any four teams you want.
I like Purdue more than Iowa, by the way. So it was Iowa that I would have removed.
Let's put the two under consideration in, because that's why they're under consideration. As far as two others, I think we got to get Kansas in here. They were free falling. They did stabilize a little bit with back-to-back wins this week. So I think that at least they're not heading downwards anymore. And they do have some nice wins on the resume. As far as a fourth, had you asked me 48 hours ago, I would have liked Rutgers, but I think that they slid a little more. I think the Hokies should be under consideration, but after Colorado's big win tonight, I want to do the immediate recency bias and get Colorado on the sixth line.
Colorado on the sixth line. Well, Rocco, you're a Pac-12 guy also here. Do we bump Colorado up to the sixth line with the win at Stanford tonight and pretty much dominated them all night?
I think they're close. I'll do a full exercise later tonight, but so for the time being, I'll leave them just outside, but I definitely think they're worth talking about. I like them for what they're capable of, but I know the committee is going to hate that loss at Washington while they're in the 200s. So hopefully Huskies can improve on that. Still some time. Anyway, I'll say that I also have Virginia Tech pretty high here. They're actually my number 21 overall. And I agree with Kansas. I agree with had USC in here. So I'll move on. Florida is another team I'll bring to the table. Ooh,
I like them.
If we have West Virginia that high up the board, they have a road win at West Virginia, plus some other good stuff.
I have not sold on Colorado.
Let's look at this. Let's look at Vatek, first of all, versus Colorado, David. And let's take that as the first question mark here. Which way would you go?
Virginia Tech. Okay. They've beaten a protected seed away from home. I guess Colorado has too. And I just, again, no real losses that you're holding your nose at all. I know Penn State has a losing record, but they're still a tough team to beat. They're unquestionably better than Utah and Washington. I haven't really been impressed with the Buffs. Maybe I've just caught them on the wrong nights. Now, I did think they played fantastic tonight, but that alone does – to me, it's not even close. It's Virginia Tech.
Well, also, I think David made an excellent point real quick. I think if we are saying, if the real committee put USC a four seed, Colorado then also down board goes up a little higher because that win all of a sudden looks amazing. And I think a committee that thinks that highly of USC would think this highly of Colorado.
Well, I don't think that highly of Washington. That's the problem.
I won't take any offense to that.
The problem is, and the Utah home loss too. I mean, let's not ignore that. It is a tier three loss now, and it was a game they completely fell apart in.
Well, come on, Utah whipped Cal tonight.
Joby. Calipari or Berkeley?
Joby, your thought, 1 point. Joby, your thoughts on knocking Colorado out in favor of a Va Tech or Florida?
Oh, don't I always love promoting Virginia Tech? No. Virginia Tech does. It's kind of, for me, and Colorado's maybe in the next line. I'm not to disparage too much, but no. Virginia Tech, they beat what I would argue is the number five, what we have is the number six on a neutral court. That means a lot. Then they didn't just beat Virginia. They pounded Virginia during a time when Virginia it's the only loss Virginia has had since mid-December. So that has to account for something as well. So I'm Virginia Tech on this one.
All right.
The team that I do question though a little bit, okay. Sorry, Tytel, I know you're high on them. I'm still not sold on Creighton. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what, let's do a quick look here at Creighton versus Creighton, Florida. Yeah. Let me go back to you, John. These were your teams here. Should we have perhaps have Florida in here, whose profile is loading in a second, over the Creighton team that you chose? When you look at those, I guess, three tier three home losses, I guess. Maybe I should pick the wrong team to compare them against, but...
No, you can make the argument. I don't think there's a huge degree of separation. I like that they went on the road and won. Obviously, like, having Seton Hall as like your best win is not going to go a lot of places. They should have beaten Kansas. I can't believe that that's going to screw them. And the non-conference strength of schedule is not even close for these two.
Yeah, but Rocco, when you look at it, though, I look at Creighton, I see the tier two weight there that – I mean, all those tier two wins have to count for something, don't they?
Absolutely. Well, you look at it closer to Xavier, Seton Hall, Connecticut, and St. John's. Those are four teams right in the mix for a bid. Certainly Xavier and Seton Hall probably in the field. So that carries a lot of weight. Florida's got more of the top end weight, as we've said. So it's tough. I've got them right next to each other. I have Florida just a smidge above, but that's just more thinking on what the committee values more.
I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and leave this as is then. I think I've heard a little bit of a split decision here, and we do want to keep going. I think Florida probably belongs here on the seven line, but Joby, it is your line.
Yep. And I didn't want to throw another team in, but
okay.
Why? And we all know, and I'm not doing it just because of the committee, because we're choosing what we are doing, just to clarify tonight. But one thing the committee does not do that bracket matrix folks are doing overly hard this year is they're taking the net and using it as a ranking tool. It is not a ranking tool. It is a comparative tool. You use, that is what the committee, the nitty gritty sheets that Chad points up, you don't see prominently, oh, this net is higher than that net. That's not how it's done. It's how you set the tiers that come in. And one team, when you look at their nitty gritty sheet, it looks better than some of the teams that have been put in. I swear to goodness, blind resume, you never know what Clemson, it was Clemson. Yeah, because of people think of the bad Clemson losses. And when Clemson loses, they lose bad. But the fact
by the score, not who they lose to, but by what the score
is. Yes, but by the score, but what they've actually done and what they've actually won. Alabama already in the field, Purdue already in the field, Florida State already in the field, Louisville will be in the field. North Carolina likely in the field. So it's, I know David's going to focus on at, but versus means a lot in these neutral wins and no bad losses. So Clemson's my top one on this line, along with, why don't we now go, Chad, you'll be happy, Rutgers. I like Rutgers here. Then
not Colorado or Florida yet.
I think Colorado after tonight. I can go with the Colorado, especially with the USC transitive property. I'm not quite there on Florida. I'm going to go with Xavier. I'm going to go with Xavier. But Florida, I could listen to arguments on Florida, but I just, those bad losses at the bottom don't get me, just like they do with Creighton, to be very honest.
I thought, say, if we just put Creighton with three losses, I'm not, and
I wasn't there on that.
Yeah, I got it. We're inconsistent if we don't have Florida on this line. But Dave, let me start with you. I it's not going to take much to convince me. We have to convince, obviously, the three of you as well, though. Does Florida belong in here and over, and which team should be knocked out if they do?
All of them.
Okay. All of them. Okay. Well, give me one. Give me which one would be the worst of the four for you.
The worst of the four, it's kind of hard to, I don't know. Who is the worst of these four? I would probably say Xavier, although their overall record's pretty good and there's some good stuff on there. I'm going to go with Rutgers as being the worst of the four.
Okay.
Xavier's done nothing away from home. That's just one of the things.
John, what are your thoughts on his four teams not having Florida in, and do they Florida belong in over a Xavier, Rutgers, or one of the others?
I think Xavier is a little high here, certainly in the mix. As you see, the metrics look solid, but the fact that we haven't mentioned UCLA, I know like they're not trending upward, but like to do it with their best player gone for the year, like to even be hanging around has impressed the hell out of me, frankly.
So you would have UCLA in here and not Florida?
Coin flip for me. I mean, Florida's okay. Missing a star of their own in Keontae Johnson. I've been doing better and their metrics are better. So I guess I would go with the Gators here.
Rocco, your thoughts on this debate and anything else on these four spots here.
I like Joby's picks for the most part. I'm just still with Florida, of course, as well. And that sums it up for me.
All right. Then I'll tell you what, we will put Florida in on the seven line here. UCLA and Xavier going down to at least the eight line. And David, you will tell us who the eight line should be.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm updating my notes here. I had to adjust my screens. Home court hero, but they've beaten some teams at home that haven't really lost much on at home or on the road. I've got many here. Let me see. I've got BYU up here still. I still like them. And UCLA, who I know is under consideration. And I don't like this team, but I don't know. We're starting to kind of go off a cliff here. Louisville.
Yeah. John, what are your thoughts on what David just did?
I actually like it a lot. My X factor is that I know I rarely say that, but let's give this one. If Loyola or Drake sweeps the other this weekend, I like the sweeper to jump up to the eight line.
Wow. That's
let's drop them both under consideration for now, the two Missouri Valley Conference teams. Rocco, what are your thoughts here? We still haven't put Xavier in.
Yeah, I would actually have Xavier on the top of this list. As my first choice. And then in the order, I would go Minnesota, Louisville, UCLA. And then I'd have BYU off.
So you could have Xavier in this group and BYU not in the group.
That's correct.
Yeah,
and funny enough, they might play each other this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still mad BYU decided to foul Gonzaga with 4 seconds to go in order to make people in the desert very either happy or happy. What are you doing?
Yeah,
well, down 11 with 4 seconds to go.
Ugh. Rocco, you've been, Rocco and everybody has been here long enough to realize why I like BYU more than Xavier. Xavier's been pitiful on the road. Cincinnati is not good. Neither is Butler. San Diego State is probably in the field, and Utah State is probably not, but they're at least in the NIT. I just think that BYU's done a little bit better on the road.
And I know they've both been St. Awesome John's, but BYU was a neutral, which is better than the home.
Yeah.
Joby, though, your thoughts on maybe this is the debate here, Xavier, BYU.
Well, I supported Xavier on the last line, so you know where I am here. But once again, you know, which one will, because it's 8-9, it really doesn't matter.
I'll tell you what,
I do think that BYU is on the next line, so I'm not going to raise.
It matters for your uniform color. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, BYU does look better in white, because when they wear blue, they look like Duke. So you're fine.
We are going to leave the slide alone then as the tiebreaker. I'll stick with the BYU. I was actually convinced by David's argument about those top tier road wins. But Rocco, you're up for the 9-line.
All right. Fun times. I guess I got to grab Xavier because they're still out there. Yeah. And then we'll go to a team I like quite a bit, even though they have 8 losses, Seton Hall.
Oh, great pick.
And then another team that I just think will get seeded high because they swept Iowa is Indiana. And then we'll squeeze in the Tar Heels, I guess, as the last one.
Ooh, you like North Carolina that much? Wow.
I don't love them, but, I mean, they've done enough compared to the rest of the next group. So,
Well, David, I mean, does one of the Missouri Valley Conference teams belong here? Is there somebody else that belongs here
that
he put in?
Well, I'm not gonna argue too much against putting Loyola up this high. I think that the only thing I think that when you look at this team's overall record, the team I'm about to say, you're kind of holding your nose. But if you look at their profile and look at how difficult their schedule is, I like Maryland a lot.
No.
Oh, that was a rough field. One for
not
me
in the field. Not in the field.
Lenardi thinks so.
Well, I mean, again, do you like Illinois? I mean, we have them on the 2 line. Who in the that look at the top of that profile? And Minnesota is
amazing. 4-9 in conference. No freaking way.
Go a little higher. Go a little higher.
Look a line above that. How about 9-10 versus T1? David, I'm vetoing that immediately. I'm not even going to consider that argument.
I mean, and undefeated against tiers 2, 3, and 4.
You've got to win more than you lose.
They better not make the mistake of playing during a pandemic and having all of their tier 2 games canceled.
I don't care.
They haven't lost to anyone.
Win more than you lose, period. Indiana's doing it. So
Indiana's schedule has not been, they've had more, put them next to Indiana.
Yeah.
Indiana has fewer tier one wins.
No, they have Maryland has won four.
They haven't played any tier two teams.
They beat Stanford.
At
the Maui.
Win those games.
No, Maryland has not played any tier two teams.
All right. Time out here. Sorry. Okay.
We
are going to
have a losing record. You're not in, period. And that's just it for me. Okay. I will never vote for someone who has a losing record against D1.
Let's move on from this Maryland thing. I'll put them way down here at number 9. John, how about going back to the original 4 teams here? Any changes you would make in those?
I would. I think that these teams, a lot of them are trending in the right direction, although Indiana was barely doing it. North Carolina almost lost to Duke. I mean, I can find holes in all of them, as we can with everybody team, because we're getting to that part of the show. I would go with a couple of teams. I would leave Xavier, and I would put in the Loyola Drake sweeper if there's a sweeper this weekend. I know you guys don't like Arkansas, but the fact is they win. They should have lost to Kentucky, but they won. And I know San Diego State had trouble early, but they won 6 in a row. So I will like those teams over the traditional blue bloods that we have here.
Well, how about that argument, Joby, of Arkansas and San Diego State instead of
Indiana,
North Carolina?
I mean, I think Arkansas with the Kentucky win, now I will actually allow them in the field. Remember, I'm the one who was like practically not even putting them in the group of 55 when we submit our list. Because you talk about lack of tier one wins, there you go. San Diego State's interesting, though. I like North Carolina more. But San Diego State, I think, you know, yeah, I like the UCLA win. Remember, UCLA was healthy at that time. Never forget that. And then just solid wins within the conference and nothing really bad on it. San Diego State's interesting, but North Carolina top end, the Tar Heels are playing better too. They're playing a lot of the games they might have lost early. Like, you know, they they might, it might have, they might change, you know, if they played Iowa today. I don't know. Maybe they beat Iowa. I'm dead serious on that.
I guess I got to take a little issue with you saying that North Carolina top end is really that much better. You're looking at two tier one wins. Yes, but these are two tier one wins that are the verge of becoming tier two wins. They are 74 and 75. Yeah. They're basically tier two wins, and they're not tournament teams. I like the UCLA Colorado State wins better than the Pitt and Duke wins and Syracuse wins.
Well, Stanford's possible tournament team, and that was on a neutral court down the, you know, couple hours away in Asheville.
But yeah. And no one's there, so it's not like it was filled with Tar Heel fans. It was a unfamiliar court to both teams, you know, in that.
Yeah, and a really a big game, good game.
And then you also got to go to the fact that San Diego State is the best team in the Mountain West, which you give a little extra points for that too, don't you?
Yeah. Well, they're the best team, but they're not in first.
If they
place,
win the State, if they Utah win the regular State, season, yeah,
they will. They will when they sweep Boise.
Utah State's in first
right now.
Yeah, Utah State is in first, amazingly. Yeah.
And they lost twice to those guys, so they got to beat them by a game.
Yeah. David, are you with that pick here of putting San Diego State in above the Tar Heels?
Yes, I'm not, but I like a lot of teams more than San Diego State.
Okay, make that flip here. And I'm going to go to John for the 10 line here. We've got four teams under consideration. We're going to put Loyola and Drake in now. I know we want to say what's going to happen, but I think we got to say where they are right now. So, you know, when you're considering them,
I'll put them all in and I'll put Boise under consideration.
You put all four of them in. Loyola, okay, all four in. Rocco, what do you think of his choice to put all four of these teams in here on the 10 line?
Well, I hate to be an anti-Valley representative because I'm certainly not, but I think as it stands today, Loyola, Chicago, Drake are both on the cut line. This is too early for either from my perspective, but obviously we'll find out a great deal more this weekend. Sadly, I have to agree on Arkansas at this point.
No, you don't. I don't.
Well, just looking at
you don't have to agree.
I don't have to. You're right. But I think just holistically, the good thing about Arkansas's profile is all those losses, those are games that they probably should have lost, except for maybe Missouri at home, but that's a protected seed. Mm-hmm. So that is a really clean loss profile. And then on the win side, they've taken care of all the other business. And so, you know, if they're a tournament team, 10's about a right seed for this. I would also say
they really need to beat Florida. And they can lose that Missouri, but they really need to beat Florida in my opinion. And LSU.
I would throw in Colorado State in this mix. And I would also throw in Boise State in this mix, above the two Valley teams.
Well, let's start with Boise State and we'll compare them to Loyola here, who has the three losses versus Drake only having BYU. One loss.
I like Boise more.
Joe, your thoughts on this Boise Loyola? Let's say Boise Loyola.
I really like the BYU win. And at Colorado State, South BYU, Boise had the stuff. For some reason, Nevada has their number. And I watched both games, and that they weren't necessarily flukes either. But Boise, I think, is a well-rounded team overall. Loyola is a good team too. I think that probably at the end of the day, they, now that Drake no longer has that undefeated component, they might be the better of the two Valley teams. But Boise's delivered. It's not fair to Loyola. They haven't really, besides Wisconsin, they haven't really had the opportunities. But Boise has done their delivery. And I don't think at Nevada is the end of the world since it's the same team. They just have their number.
David, is there anybody else that we're missing in this discussion here besides Boise State, Colorado State, Drake, and Loyola?
It might be a little early to pull them out, but what about Oregon?
Oregon is up at halftime as we record this, just as a side note.
Over who, Chad?
over a team from Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, and Oregon's a really interesting case. I'm glad
they are,
because the loss to both Oregon State and Wazoo was very shorthanded, and I believe the committee will take that into consideration at the end, especially for seeding. Not as much for selection. But.
Yeah, and they've it isn't like to hang your hat on a neutral floor win against Seton Hall. While that's decent, I just kind of get the feeling that they're in this range. Comparing them to maybe Drake, there might be a little more there.
They haven't played. I mean, yeah. It's hard to compare them to anything.
That's a good point, but I as much as I like the Valley, and I know that to win all but one of your games is impressive, but God, to lose the one that they did, I mean, that is horrible. And didn't you say the other, well, how much does that undo?
Well, I think, you know, it's a situation where they can't afford another Valley loss to non-Loyola. I think if they got swept by the Loyola, they're still in the picture and they got to beat everybody else. But once you lose twice, that's when it historically starts getting out of bounds.
Okay.
So I think they can afford that one, but now they're up against the gun a little bit.
Let's go ahead and Rocco, you're for Boise over Drake in this line, I think, right?
Yeah, Boise's my highest here.
Yeah, and I heard that from Joby as well. So let's go ahead and put Boise in here. We'll take Drake out for now. Joby, is it an argument that we should take Loyola out for Oregon or Colorado State as well?
Yeah, I hate to be all Mountain West on you, but I kind of like Colorado State more, but I'm not going to fight overly hard on it. It's one where if the crowd feels Loyola, you're not going to get streaming.
I'll tell you what, Joby, why don't you give me the next four teams?
I like Colorado State here.
Okay, Colorado State, and then we have Drake and Oregon under consideration as well.
Yeah, love the Drake, I have to say. despite the loss tonight, I'm still kind of on Stanford. And boy, it's just a mess. I mean, it really is. So I'm not,
you're not going to go Oregon.
I'm not in love with them not playing recently. I need to see them back out, but I guess because they're beating Arizona State right now, they're down, I might view it differently, but with a win tonight, that would steady the ship and I might, and I'll go with them.
All right, there we go. We have, and actually just as a point of reference, that would make Oregon the first of our first four teams, because we only have three at-large bids remaining after this. But John, let me start with you. What do you think of this as the 11 line?
Decent. I still think that you can't put in two Pac-12 teams ahead of the best A-10 team. The sad thing is I don't know who the best A-10 team is, but one of them has to be on the 11 line.
The best A-10 team is not good.
I mean, I think I can't disagree with John on that, actually. And let's say, I mean, the Bonnies stayed the ship this week, though St. Louis did too. I will go with St. Bonaventure. Maybe that it almost slipped my mind in a lot of ways because the A-10.
Well, because there's nothing there. St. Louis is I've long championed the A-10 the entire history of Hoops HD. Those teams are not as good as the ones that you have ahead of them.
Well, go ahead and put down there the team with the best record in A-10, which is VCU.
They're not.
I'm just saying consideration.
Please do not just say, "Well, we have to have an A-10 team in there." No, you don't. You do not.
You really don't. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, David. Okay. Let's go back to Oregon. You swayed. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
Let's under consideration in honor of that. Under consideration, we should have the Bonnies, St. Louis, Richmond, and VCU.
Okay. Entire Atlantic 10. Do I hear any votes for putting Fordham under consideration as well?
No.
But George Washington.
George Washington, yeah. Rocco, I'm going to leave the fourth spots. Let's start with the first question here. Colorado State, Drake, Stanford. Are you okay with that?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah, make it easy.
I'm sorry. I don't have Drake yet. I do have Colorado State and Stanford. That's good news, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to hold my nose because I really – you know, I've been having a hard time with this team all year. They did look good last night, so I'll put in LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do have the Bonnies as the last 11, and they are, for the record, a half game ahead of ECU.
All right.
8-2 in the league.
David, now I've heard just a little bit of love for Drake. I've heard love for the Bonnies. you know, is it maybe that we just got to put the St. Bonaventure in here and make that the fourth teams, or is there somebody else, one of these other teams that belongs in here?
So if Maryland, this, who we've talked about.
No, we're not putting Maryland in for now. We'll hold off on
okay.
that.
Okay, what about UConn? And I'm not saying they're my team, but I do want them looked at. And another team that I like more than LSU, but it's the same conference. Uh-huh. They had a hell of a week.
Uh-huh.
Ole Miss.
I'm feeling you on that. Yeah.
I think this is the bestiest under consideration board we've had all season.
We're reaching that Western point. Kentucky, put them up there. Yeah.
Well, at least they're the auto bid. I should have said Western Kentucky. Actually, at line number 44, we should be putting Western Kentucky right there. Just put Western Kentucky, and then
Western Kentucky would clobber St. Bonaventure.
Then we can have the play-in games be all on the 12 lines. Western has a very legitimate argument to be better than all these teams.
I'll tell you what, let's leave it with this here. I've heard a couple of you liking Drake, a couple of you liking the Bonnies, so we'll get them both on the 11 line. By the way, the Bonnies being the first A-10 team for the purposes of this exercise, they're the auto bid winner from the A-10. Okay. So they're not taking an at-large spot anyhow. Western Kentucky, let's put them in there on top of the 12 line. They're an auto bid winner anyhow. I think they're going to be somewhere on that 12 line, no matter what, whether it's above or below the at-large teams, doesn't matter. But there are four spots left. And there's four of you. So, David, I'm going to start with you. We're going to go around. Just give me one more team to put in there. Maybe one of these seven that are under consideration. Maybe somebody else.
Well, my somebody else would be Maryland, but I want to adhere to the committee exercise. So if there's a unanimous vote against them, which I think it would be, my next team would be Ole Miss.
Okay, let's talk about Ole Miss, and then we'll talk about each of these one at a time here. John, Ole Miss is a team that we have not discussed for at all this season about being an NCAA tournament team.
We haven't discussed them in about 5 years.
Are they really suddenly with that one win right there?
It was two.
No, certainly trending in the right direction. The reason we haven't talked about them is because they're 6-6 in their conference. They're 3-5 on the road. Bad non-conference. I'll stop. We could spend an hour on what's bad about Ole Miss. They're having a great February, and they deserve to be in the mix. LSU, I don't like them better than Ole Miss as of today, but they have better metrics across the board.
You know, let's pull up the LSU profile here. And Rocco, what are your thoughts on
you don't trust me?
No, we don't.
I trust you, John.
Well, okay, they won at Ole Miss, but that's not that good of a win. Look at what Ole Miss has done.
I'll tell you what, it's not going to be hard to convince me that both these teams are going out, but Rocco.
I think John started off on with the right points. I just think, Tennessee, Mizzou, home wins, that's going to carry some weight. It's a good foundation to build on. They got to they just have some more empty calories to fill. Getting swept by Georgia, no bueno. Getting beat by the Shockers at home, no bueno. So they're still a little unbalanced on the bad side for me. But a couple more big wins, like they got a chance to play in Columbia, a bunch of more manageable games. If they stay playing like this, I think they can get there.
Okay, I'll tell you what, John. Let me go to you then. Let's pull back Ole Miss for a moment. Give me a team here for the first four.
LSU.
LSU. Okay. I've heard a lot of love for LSU from several of you. So Joby, why don't we keep going here and try to get the second of the first four teams in?
Well, you didn't take my vote because I vote for Ole Miss over LSU. I'll put Ole Miss as my vote here. I'm dead serious.
Okay. Well, now there's been two of you that like Ole Miss. So if we want to go with the consensus committee approach, LSU and Ole Miss are both in. And I guess let's cycle right back around. David, we got Oregon, UConn, and three A-10 teams.
Oregon and Maryland.
Okay. Oregon. Joby, are you on Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon should be here. Okay. I agree.
How about John? Why don't you give me the last team here? Oh, sorry, Rocco, it's actually up to you. Why don't you give me the final team here?
Final team.
You can give me an auto bid winner and we'll go one more line. I mean, that's fine.
Belmont.
Belmont is
looking really good right now, by the way.
VCU.
VCU. I think I do like the idea of putting another A-10 team in, although we then leave UConn out by doing this.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
I will say, UConn doesn't have the profile to get in my opinion right now, but if the committee talks about Bo Knight not playing, that changes the whole game. But you can't, I mean, it's crazy because they have a limited profile like Oregon. They both have injury and COVID issues to discuss in the committee room. They're probably definitely tournament caliber teams when fully full strength, but will they have enough data to back that up? I mean, these are big time storylines that are building towards March here.
Yeah.
Both teams.
Just a quick note for bracketing purposes, LSU, Ole Miss and Oregon are basically going to end up being flipped here just because LSU and Ole Miss being in the same conference wouldn't play each other in the first four. They'd probably flip Ole Miss and Oregon, but let me run through each of you. Let me run through a couple of you here, starting with Joby on this being our first four: LSU, Ole Miss, Oregon, and VCU.
Yeah, I can't fault it. What I like to do with first four is, and maybe this is a case for the teams on the under consideration boards. The two types of teams I personally like, I don't necessarily think the committee goes this direction, are teams with a lot of good and a lot of bad. I think of that USC team from a few years ago that had like three tier 3 and 4 losses, but also had these amazing tier 1 wins as a play-in game type. And the other one is the teams that just didn't have the opportunities. This year, given COVID, Connecticut and Oregon kind of fit in that category. And St. Louis, for that matter, for the amount of time they were out, but yet top 25 thought of. So it'll be very interesting to see how all of it plays in, because COVID adds another layer to that. But I can't really – I do think the four best teams on the floor are sitting there in those final four.
Rocco, is there anybody that we missed that's not even under consideration that is close? Because we're down to only four under considerations.
I know they lost the other day, but I still keep St. John's under consideration.
I
love the way they're playing last 7 games, and the Villanova win keeps them alive even longer.
John, anybody else that belongs under consideration here?
Nobody I think is a egregious person we've left out. I mean, I think that – we're getting to hold your nose territory, so no.
I think two teams that are out don't deserve to be in right now.
I know who it is. Go ahead.
But we should consider. TCU has opportunities in front. And
that's not where I thought you were going. Okay.
Well, you know where the other – I'm saving the best for last because Zach will love it. And that is this Georgia Tech team's good. It is. It's legitimately a good team.
So is Maryland.
But Georgia Tech's actually over 500. And Georgia Tech actually has maybe the ACC Player of the Year in Alvarado and a very strong starting lineup. What happened to them is they didn't know what they had in Moses Wright to begin the year, and they lost to Mercer and Georgia State to start the year. And ever since, if you all of a sudden had them playing the right way in those two games, and you can't erase them. But if you all of a sudden don't start out 0-2 and start 2-0 in those quasi-bye games, it wouldn't even be a question of Georgia Tech, but rightfully so. They lost the games. They deserve to be out. But dang, I think they can make a run. I really do.
One other team that we did not mention that I think should be on this board is Utah State. They are the first place team in the Mountain West, as we mentioned earlier. What I'm going to do is quickly review for you here teams 51 through 68. We discussed these at length last night on our Under the Radar podcast. You want to find out more about them, but it starts with Toledo, Winthrop, UC Santa Barbara, Liberty, Greensboro, Wright State, Navy, Abilene Christian, Grand Canyon, South Dakota, Siena, Northeastern, UMBC, Morgan State, Texas State, Prairie View, Eastern Washington, and Bryant, all the way down to 68 there. What I'm going to do after we're done with this podcast is bracket this up, and you'll see the actual bracket down below us. On that note, I'm going to leave the screen up here and run through each of you for any other final thoughts on what we did tonight or anything else with college basketball. And Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, this was fun. It always is. I think, you know, a couple of profiles stood out as we were discussing the different teams. I think the first one was UCLA, and it surprised me the last bracket exercise I did. on how unimpressed I was with the overall resume, because I watched a lot of their games, and I think they are, as Joby said, they are doing very well without Smith. And I know USC just, it was a little bit of an anomaly with the defensive game plan they brought to the table, but UCLA, like, eye test looks very deserving. But the resume, you take a look under the hood, they're just 3-4 against the top two quadrants. Doesn't compare very well to the 8-7 teams. They only have two wins against the board, and that's only if you count Arizona as part of the board, which is becoming more and more debatable over time. So I think UCLA still got some work to do, because if for any reason they hit a cold streak and got maybe upset by Wazoo tonight, or, you know, take another upset or two in the rest of the year, they might not be on solid ground. The other point I wanted to make was, I know we all held our nose at David for putting Maryland in the field. I do want to stick up for David here momentarily and say,
you know,
there are people out there. I heard Joe Lunardi yesterday say that he believes the committee will take a team with a losing record because of the COVID nature. And I don't want to
wait. Joe Lunardi said that.
He said that, yes.
Yeah. So delete Maryland.
Okay, so maybe we should know for sure they're not getting in, right?
Yeah.
But if anybody, you know, is out there putting that out there, maybe there is some revised guidelines coming from the selection committee. God pray that they give us that information before we have to put our final bracket in on Selection Sunday. But, you know, based on everything we know, I think it is a hold your nose. But if they do get in, the point I wanted to make is they would get seated very high and shoot up to that 9 spot that David had him at. And if that all comes together, that's it. That's a great prediction by David.
Yeah, I mean, there is nothing in the NCAA principles and procedures that says you cannot select a team with a losing record as an at-large team.
Yeah, that was going to be my final thought. But, like, up until recently, it was. They did change it. I couldn't tell you when they changed it, but they did.
Okay.
So a factoid there.
Okay. Yeah. John, how about you?
My final thought on the bracket is I like that 6-11 matchup, especially if we can get Kansas against Stanford. Stanford's coach Jared Haas, former player and assistant coach at Kansas. I think it would be fascinating to see him go up against his old school. As far as a final thought, not on the bracket, there was a story that was breaking tonight about Bluefield College. I don't know if anybody heard about this. It's an NAIA school, and they forfeited their game tonight because they suspended a bunch of players for kneeling during the national anthem at games over the past couple months. It's not going to be front page across the country because it is NAIA D2, but there's so many layers here in terms of the school president saying that they weren't allowed to talk to the media about it. And it's a white president at a school that's mostly white and in a town that's mostly white, but the athletic director and most of the players are African-American. So I think there's a whole bunch of layers here that will not make as much national news because it's NAIA D2. But if it ever gets to the D1 level, I think it'll be front page news.
Yeah, wow. I have not heard that story.
I hadn't either.
Joby.
One little fun fact that came down as of yesterday. A new total came into play. Only three coaches in the history of the ACC have had 10 straight years of winning seasons. Dean Smith, Coach Krzyzewski, and as of yesterday, Tony Bennett.
Wow.
Congratulations.
That's
congratulations.
Incredible.
I guess he's off the hot seat. a quick note for myself on the bracket here. You're going to look down there and you're going to see the potential matchups. I don't quite know for certain, but I see Missouri on the 3 line and Kansas on the 6 line. I also have to see Illinois on the 2 line, as a potential matchup the round after. That could be what happens. We'll see. But
David, it's down there. I mean, you can see right now.
David, you want to finish off the show?
I know this is going to sound strange because of Maryland and Penn State and some of the cases I was having for them, but I really do think some of these under the radar schools like Loyola and Belmont and Western Kentucky and Drake are good enough to be inside the bubble, whether they're, oftentimes with under the radars, at least I feel this way. And I think it's backed up by how well the 12 and 13 seeds typically play in the round of 64, that teams are better than their profiles. And the reason their profiles aren't better is just because of a circumstantial disadvantage that they're at. I just think that those teams are as good as the 10 and the 11 seeded teams. I would pick just all four of them to beat Arkansas if they were to play head-to-head. I would probably pick them to beat San Diego State if they played head-to-head. And I just hope that maybe with the NET and all of that, that some of those teams can get higher on the seed list, because you know who agrees with me? The teams on the 5 and 4 lines.
David, now I know why you do so lousy every year in the bracket picks, but...
Yeah, I do.
On that note, I do want to thank everybody for having joined us. On behalf of, let's see, up top here, we've got John Titel and Joby Fortson. Down the second row, we have Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org and David Griggs. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Check out the bracket below, and we'll talk to you again real soon.